Good morning, congregation. Welcome to our worship service this Christmas Day morning. We would like to welcome all the visitors who are worshiping with us today, as well as all those who are following along online. We pray that we may all be blessed as we worship the Lord together today. The congregation is reminded that our collection today is for the Middle East Reform Fellowship, and we ask the congregation to remain standing after the benediction for the singing of the hymn Ire Zechot, or Glory to God. This will be followed shortly afterwards by the children's program. We welcome Reverend Dick Moles, the emeritus pastor of the Cloverdale Covenant Reformed Church, to lead our worship service this morning.
Blessed Christmas to you all. The Lord calls us to worship him with the following words. Oh, the depth of your riches and wisdom and knowledge, O God, how unsearchable are your judgments and how inscrutable your ways. For who has known your mind, or who has been your counselor, or who has given a gift to you that they might be repaid? For from you and through you and to you are all things. To you be glory forever and ever. Amen. If you're able, would you please rise? Congregation, where does our help come from? Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us sing together hymn 19. On this Christmas day, let us now, together with the Church of all ages, profess our Catholic and undoubted Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all ages, God of God, light of light, true God of true God, begotten, not made, of one substance with the Father, through whom all things were made, who for us men in our salvation came down from heaven and became incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he arose according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who spoke through the prophets. And we believe one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. And we look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us respond by singing together hymn 20.
Thank you.
Let us unite together in prayer. Eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, thank you so much for creating this world and for creating us, so that we could participate in your Son's fellowship of love with you and his ministry of love from you. We thank you that in the fullness of time, he, God of God, light of light, true God of true God, begotten not made, of one substance with you, through whom all things were made, for us and our salvation came down from heaven. The incomprehensible became known. The eternal took on temporality. The Creator was joined to the creation. The light entered the darkness. What a wonder, Father. What a mystery. We thank you that he came as the one who would save humanity from the destruction of sin. That is, all those who put him on through faith and abide in him through faith. We thank you that he came as the healer of creation from the brokenness of sickness and death. And we thank you that he came to save the history of this world and the history of our own lives from the power of the devil. And so, Father, we thank you that we can gather together this morning as your congregation and celebrate this good news of great joy which has come to the world. Truly, joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare room for him, so that we not only celebrate his historical birth, but also his birth in us through the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray that this Holy Spirit would richly anoint the reading and the proclamation of your word this morning, and our being gathered together. In his name we pray. Amen. Our scripture reading is Luke 2, the verses 1 to 20. In those days, and those days refers back to chapter 1, where the angel Gabriel came to Zechariah and announced news to him, and the angel Gabriel came to Mary and announced good news to her, and John the Baptist being born and being strong in the Spirit. Now, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. Now, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in this town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Another translation is, "to men," or "goodwill to men." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Preparation for the message, let us sing together hymn 21.
Fire.
Our text for this morning are the verses 10 and 11 of chapter 2. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Theme for this morning's message: because of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need not be afraid. We need not fear. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, our text begins with a very human element. Do not be afraid. Do not fear. And you hear that often in the Bible. Someone even counted them all up and said that there were 365 references to fear not. And then he attached the providence of God to that, and so there was one fear not for every day of the year. Well, that's not true. Actually, the fear not of our text, in this comforting sense, is only used about 80 times. A little more than 80 times. But 80 times is a lot of times. And that reminds us that by nature, you and I are people of fear. And as you sit here this morning, during this worship service, I think it's good for you and it's good for me to ask ourselves, what do you actually fear? What did you fear the year's almost over? What did you fear in 2017? And if God gives us 2018, what might you fear in the upcoming new year? I'm going to run three possibilities by you. And I picked these possibilities because each of these fears relates to one of the names of what the angel says about Jesus. He is a Savior, he is Christ, and he is Lord. So I'm just kind of setting the sermon up a bit because these three names are going to deal with these three fears. But what are these three fears? Well, perhaps you and I fear the destruction that sin can cause in our lives and in the life of the world. You're sitting here this morning and you are aware of the destruction that the guilt of sin can do in a person's life. The destruction that the power of sin can do in your life. The destruction that the pollution of sin can do in your life. And the destruction that the partition of sin can do in your life. You're aware of that. Not just mentally, as a fact, but you're also aware of that experientially. In your own personal life, in your relational life. If you're married, in your married life. If you have a family, in your family life, with your siblings. And you're also aware of the destruction that sin can do in a church, in a congregation. And when you let that impact you, you sometimes are afraid. You fear. If this destruction of sin is not curtailed or dealt with, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my relationships? What's going to happen to my marriage or my family? What's going to happen to the congregation? Now, there's one fear. There's a reason I mentioned this, as I told you. Now, the second fear is the fear for what's happening to creation. Just had the California fires. We had the fires in Alberta, in BC, rest of Canada. It was the worst year. Mass floodings in Houston, in Florida, some of the islands, devastation in those islands in the Caribbean. And the carbon footprint that we leave in creation. And you think to yourself, if this goes unchecked, are we going to destroy our own planet? You don't leave that to Greenpeace, of course, do you? These are Christian concerns that we have. We're supposed to be good stewards of creation. Or perhaps what you fear about the macro creation around you, you may also fear for the micro creation, and that refers to your body. So each person is like a little micro creation. You're worried about your health, or the health of your loved ones, your physical health, your emotional health, your mental health. You're afraid. You're afraid what the future might bring for you or for your loved ones. It's the second fear. Now, the third fear is a fear that you and I have concerning the history of this world. You're concerned about the rise of the power of China, this latest premier, whatever he's called, president. He's enshrined, you know, his teaching. He's on the same level as Mao Zedong and a few of the others. And he might even be in for life. And you're kind of afraid about the rising power of China, the dominance of Russia. You're worried about the mass immigration of Muslims. And you're worried about the increased terrorism on so-called soft targets, where they get into a van or a bus and they just plow through a street. It's pretty hard to stop that. You're worried about that. Where is the history of this world headed? And what is your place in the history of this world, personally, as a family, and as a church? Where is the history of your life headed? Now, the shepherds in the fields also had their fears. And I think we can say that these three fears that I just mentioned, you can find those back among the shepherds. The most obvious fear is the fear of sin. Perhaps you will remember Isaiah's calling as a prophet in Isaiah 6. It's the year that King Uzziah died. And Isaiah has a vision in the temple, and he sees the Lord God enthroned. John, in his gospel, even says he sees the Lord Jesus Christ enthroned. And the train of his robe, you know, Meghan Markle will get married soon in 2018. Just like Diana had this huge train, right? Who knows how long the train of Merkel is going to be? No, the train of the robe of the Lord God, you know, just furled up and along the walls of the temple. And the doorposts, they shook. And the temple was filled with smoke. And you got these seraphim who have six wings. You know, they cover their eyes, their face with two wings. They cover their feet with another two wings. And they fly with the other two wings. And they're very antiphonally calling out back to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The whole earth is filled with his glory." What does Isaiah do when he sees that? He says, "That's the end of me. I'm undone. I'm lost. I'm going to be destroyed. This is going to kill me." Because he says, "I'm a man of unclean lips." It's like saying, "I have a dirty mouth. And I live among a people of unclean lips. All my fellow citizens have dirty mouths too. And now I am being confronted by the holiness of God. This is going to be fatal for me." Well, the shepherds have a similar experience. They see the angel of the Lord. And they are surrounded by the glory of the Lord God. Remember that cloud in the desert? It's the glory of the Lord. Now they are surrounded by a bright light, almost like a ring of fire. And that glory is the visible presence of God. And at that time, where did that cloud, where was that cloud? The glory of the Lord. It was in the Holy of Holies. It was behind the veil, top of the Ark of the Covenant. And why was it there? Why was there this curtain between the holy place and the Holy of Holies? It was there to protect the people from the holiness of God. And now all of a sudden this glory of God, which is normally behind the curtain, this glory of God surrounds the shepherds. What do you think they thought? "This is going to kill us." Just like Isaiah. And why do you think it was going to kill them? Because just like Isaiah, they had a dirty mouth. And they had a dirty mind. They were sinful people. And they knew that sinful people could not stand and survive the presence of the Holy God. I think the shepherds also had a fear about the history of the world. Because who looms large at the beginning of the chapter? Who writes out this decree that everybody must go to the town of their birth and be registered? It's Caesar Augustus, right? And they were Jews. There hadn't been a king, a Davidic king, ever since the Babylonian exile. The Israelites had been ruled by four different empires. And now Augustus was Caesar. And what had happened to the promise of David? Remember David? How Nathan made a promise to David? One day a descendant would sit on David's throne, and David's throne would endure forever. That's a key promise, 2 Samuel 7. And the longing for the fulfillment of that promise echoes through the Psalms, it echoes through the prophets, it echoes through the Old Testament. When is this going to happen? The fulfillment of 2 Samuel 7, that descendant of David. Will his throne really endure forever? Or is it lost forever? And if it's not, when are we going to get it back? See, they fear. They fear the flow of the history of the world. Where's it going to go? And what about their health? Well, there were a lot of crippled people in those days. A lot of demon-possessed people. A lot of lepers. Now, I'm sure we can assume that these shepherds were healthy at that time. But what if they would get sick? What future would be in store for them if they did? Well, in the light of this fear for the shepherds, and by analogy for us, the angel says, I have good news for you. Good news of great joy that will come to all the people, to all Israel, and by extension, it'll come to the whole world. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Three names that run parallel to the three fears. Savior, then Christ, then Lord. Savior. What name do you think of? Jesus. Even the younger ones among us know what the name Jesus means. He's called Jesus because he will save his people from all their sins. Sin is the focal point. Brothers and sisters, think of all the destruction of the guilt of sin in this world. Think of how sin or the guilt of sin can consume a person, can burden a person, can break a person, send them into an institution, or if not, on pills for the rest of his or her life. Guilt. Think of all the destruction that the pollution or the power of sin can do. Think of all the envy in this world, all the hatred, all the anger, all the revenge, all the dishonesty, all the theft, all the gossip, all the slander, all the lying. These are addictive powers. These are addictive behaviors that cause a lot of damage and destruction in this world. Think of all the destruction that the pollution of sin can do. Sin is like a virus. People are contagious because they're sinful. And when we interact with others, we pollute others. We infect others with our sinful talk and our sinful behavior. Think of all the destruction that the partitions of sin can do. And now I'm not even talking about the vertical partition between God and us. But what about the horizontal partitions between people? Nations are divided from other nations. Partitions between family members. Partitions through a church family. Destruction. And then once you've just kind of thought about that in the world, then think about that in your own life. The destruction of the guilt of sin. The power of sin. Envy, etc. The pollution of sin. The partition of sin. And then you are inclined to say to yourself, is this going to destroy us? Is this going to destroy me as a person? It does. Some people, to a certain degree, not completely, but they hit rock bottom. It's going to destroy humanity. And now the good news of the angel is it's not going to do that. It's not going to destroy humanity. It's not going to destroy you. For I have a message, says the angel, of good news, of great joy. A Savior has been born. Jesus has been born. And his name means he's going to save humanity from the destruction of sin. Because he's going to deal with the problem of sin with his death on Calvary's cross. He's going to deal with the guilt of sin so that there can be forgiveness. He's going to deal with the power of sin so that it can be curtailed and ultimately destroyed. He's going to deal with the pollution and the partition of sin. And today already, he makes a beginning of that. When you believe in Jesus, when you're joined to Jesus through faith, when you put him on like a jacket, like clothing, then the mystery of Christ in you begins to take place. And you experience the forgiveness of the guilt. You experience the power of sin being hemmed in. You experience the pollution of sin slowly but surely being removed. And you experience the walls of the partition of sin. These walls slowly come down. Because it is no longer you who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in you. Fear not is the good news. This will happen. Rejoice in the good news of the birth of the Savior. There is hope today, and there is hope for tomorrow. Now the second part of the good news. We've seen the name Savior. Now we get the good news for the name Christ. That focuses especially on the fact that Jesus is, or the Christ is, the Savior of creation, who will deal with the destruction that sickness and death bring about in creation. Also spiritual sickness and death. that Christ will transform that by bringing healing to creation, transforming creation, glorifying creation. The name Christ indicates that. He's the anointed one. And again, just think of all the destruction in creation. Those California fires. Those Canadian fires. Romans 8 talks about creation groaning. And creation is groaning. Creation is suffering because of human behavior. And the micro creation is suffering. You and I are suffering. You and I are also groaning because of our brokenness, because of our sickness, because of death. Just read the church family column in your biweekly church news. So-and-so has high blood pressure. So-and-so can't sleep. So-and-so has cancer. So-and-so has this. And so-and-so has that illness. It's one after the other. We're a sick bunch. We're an unhealthy bunch. Physically. And we wish each other well. And we commit each other to the grace of God. You say to yourself, will this brokenness ever be healed? Will there ever be a time when there will be no more crying, no more pain, no more mourning? For the old order of things has passed away. Behold, all things have been made new. Will that ever happen? And the angel says, yes, that will happen. The Savior is Christ. He is the anointed. He's the one who is at work with the powers of transformation of creation. Also the transformation of your soul, which is a created thing. Your soul is a created thing. He's going to transform that together with the macro creation. And you see that in the ministry of the Christ. The lame are given the use of their legs back. The blind are given the use of their eyes back. The deaf, all of a sudden they hear. And the dumb are able to speak. And some of the dead are raised from the dead. Stan Langenhorst said to me yesterday, he said, how it must have grieved God that Jesus didn't heal everybody when he was on earth. And I knew why Stan said that. Right? You know, he didn't heal everybody. I did say to Stan, it may have something to do with the fact that these healings are signs. These healings are signs that point to the complete healing on the new earth, where nobody will ever be in a wheelchair. And no one will have Alzheimer's. Everybody will be completely healed. You don't never have to take any sleeping pills or painkillers. And so maybe that's why Jesus didn't heal everybody. But it must have pained him. Did Stan? I think it did. But it shows us in this message of the angel, fear not. Fear not what sin can do to creation, how it breaks creation, because the Christ has been born. The healer of creation has been born. There's good news. There's hope. And then the last name, Lord. Well, that refers to the salvation of the history of this world. So Savior, sin, Christ, creation, Lord, the history of this world that lies in the power of the devil ever since the fall into sin. And you see that in all the wars that are being fought. It's the power of the devil. The Bible calls the devil the god with a small g, the god of this world. Lies in the power of the devil. And you see that in all the violence in the relationships in the history of this world. And you see that in all the injustice in this world. And then bring it close to yourself, because you and I are part of history. We're historical beings. And so you see it in all the wars, the little petty wars that you and I wage. That the devil still has a lot of power in our lives. All the petty little wars that we wage, all the violence in our relationships, all the injustice that takes place, injustice that we experience, and injustice that we inflict upon other people. The devil still has a lot of power. Where's the history of our lives and the history of the world headed? And yet God has promised to save the history of this world from the power of the devil. God promised a coming kingdom of heaven that would replace all the violent kingdoms in the history of this world. Back to 2 Samuel 7, right? David, you're going to have a descendant, and his throne will endure forever. That's a promise of the coming kingdom of heaven. And then Daniel gets the same promise. The statue, the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, and the huge rock that destroys the statue, destroys all the kingdoms of this world, and then this rock fills the whole world. That's the kingdom of heaven. That's a promise that one day the Lord Jesus Christ will deal with the power of the devil and usher in a kingdom of peace. No war, no injustice, only peace, which is wholeness and harmony. The angel says, you're wondering whether this is ever going to happen? The angel says, fear not. This will happen. Because the child who is born isn't just Jesus. He isn't just the Christ. He is Lord. Caesar is not Lord. The devil is not Lord. But Jesus the Christ, he is Lord, and he is the ruler of history. Is it any wonder that this mighty army of angels, and they didn't have trumpets, you know, in front of their faces. This is a mighty army of soldiers. It's a bit like Elisha that asked the Lord to open the eyes of his servant back in 2 Kings 6, I think it is. And all of a sudden, the servant of Elisha sees a whole army of the Lord on the mountains. The invisible became visible. Now, you have that kind of an army of angels accompanying the one angel, and in a bit of a military way, they say, glory to God. Glory to God in the highest. Peace. Peace on earth. Goodwill to men. That's Luke's version of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Peace on earth. Goodwill to men. God loves the world. And then you got to believe. Then you got to believe in Jesus. Right? Not everybody gets saved. Well, we come full circle, and we need to round off. What fears occupy your heart and your mind as you sit here on Christmas morning? You and I need to ask ourselves, where do we need to hear the voice of the angel saying to us, do not be afraid, for I have a message of great joy for you. Jesus is born. He deals with all of this destruction of sin. The Christ is born. He deals with all the brokenness of sickness and death, also the sickness in our souls. Okay? And the Lord is born, the ruler of history, the one who defeats the devil. Where do you and I need to hear the message of the angel? This morning, the Lord Jesus Christ says to you and to me, whatever your fear may be, abide in me like a branch abides in the vine. Put me on. Put me on like a dress or a jacket. And he says, walk in my spirit, because my spirit will grant you healing. And bow before me as Lord. Be obedient. It's like the preacher says in Ecclesiastes, the end of the matter is this, fear God and keep his commandments. So, Jesus says, put me on. That's Jesus the Savior. Live in me, right? Then the Christ says, that's the Spirit, right? Christ says, walk in my spirit. And then the Lord, the ruler says, bow. Just bow before me. Just be obedient. Do what I tell you to do. And you will experience the joyful good news of the birth of Jesus Christ the Lord. Have a blessed Christmas, all of you. Amen. Once the offering has been taken, let us sing together hymn 79.
Thank you.
let us unite together in prayer. Father, we come to you at the close of this service as people who acknowledge that we are often afraid. And so we thank you that through the message of the angel, you told each one of us this morning to not be afraid, whatever our fears may be. Father, should we have fears concerning the destruction of sin in the world, in our lives, we pray that we may experience the truth of what the angel said, that when we put on the Lord Jesus Christ through faith, we need not be afraid of that, because then it will no longer be we who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in us. And Father, should we be fearing the brokenness of this world and the brokenness of our own lives, and we wonder what has the future in store for us, may the joyful good news of the birth of the Christ uphold us and sustain us. The one who heals the brokenness, the one who strengthens us to live with our handicaps and our difficulties, the one who grants healing today already through doctors and surgery and medication, and the one who will grant complete healing when he returns. And Father, should we have fears regarding the history of this world, the history of this church, the history of our own lives, bless us all with the meaning of the name Lord. Father, we pray for the people of this world that they may learn to bow before Lord Jesus. And we pray for each one of us that we may learn to bow before the Lord Jesus as well. And when we do, may we all experience the good news that simply by being obedient to the Lord Jesus, we experience that the history of our lives and the history of our congregation is heading in the right direction. Amen. Seeing we're going to sing Glory to God yet, I'll reduce the number of stanzas to only one stanza of hymn 85.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of peace in faith and share the blessing of peace with each other and all those whom God places on your path. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.